Glory to God. Can y'all hear me fine? I have it, the mic placed good. Okay, glory. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer first of all. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. One mind, one accord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We just say thank you. Thank you for your angels that are encamped all around about us. Thank you for your angels that are protecting us and our families, Father God. Thank you for those angels, those ministering angels when we need them. Thank you for your angels, Father. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us, Father, that saved us, that healed us. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. And right now, we plead the blood of Jesus over this service right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every member right now and their families right now, Father God, that no weapon that is formed against them or their families shall prosper. And I just thank you, Father God, that we are a blessed church. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are blessed going in and we are blessed going out. Whatever we put our hands to, it will prosper. Whatever we tread our feet, it's ours. And I just thank you, Father God. I thank you for the service right now, Lord. All of you, none of me, have your way in this place this evening, Father God. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I'm going to start off with this. First of all, God is so good. The enemy did not want me here this evening. I got a call about 12-ish. My brother called me. He's home here from Afghanistan right now. His daughter graduated this past weekend, and they had to take my dad to the ER. And my brother went over. My daddy had called my brother and said, hey, I need you to take me to the doctor. So my brother's thinking just a regular appointment. My brother said, okay, what time, what day? My daddy said, no, I need you to take me to the hospital now. My brother lives off Macon Road. My dad lives on Buena Vista Road. And my brother said he know he got there in 2 seconds flat. But when he walked in, my dad hadn't even locked the door. My mom had went out to go to Bible study, her midday Bible study, and he was headed to walk to the door to lock it behind her. But she had been gone maybe 20 or so minutes, more, a little bit more. But when my brother walked in, my daddy was kind of propped up against the wall, holding himself up, and kind of slumped over. God is good. And my brother called me. I saw the first call, like, oh, he don't want anything. And because I was on a conference call. Then he called back again, and he don't do that. but he called back, and I answered. That's when he told me. So I left and met them at the hospital. But they said that my daddy had a mini stroke along with seizure. He had a massive stroke back in 2001. And the doctors are saying that because of that massive stroke and his age now, that he may start having these mini strokes and seizures. That's what they say. The devil is a liar.
Yes.
I got home probably about 6 o'clock from the hospital, and my daddy is talking. His speech is still a little slurred, but he's talking. They're keeping him overnight, exactly. Just to monitor him, waiting on the MRI results to come back and all of that. But the devil is a liar. He's a liar. You see, before, and it didn't fail. He tries, but he don't succeed. In the past, every time before I get ready to teach, I get a migraine. But see, this time he couldn't do that, so he tried with my dad. He still lost because my daddy, he's talking. He was sitting up when I left. My mom is there with him. One of my brothers is there with him. He's fine. He's going to be fine. So, yes, devil, I'm here to serve you. Notice,
Hallelujah.
You lost again. You have no place in my life, in my family, in my finances, in my marriage, in my children, in my parents, in my siblings. Give up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Last week, you know, I talked about divine shift, and this week a little different, how to be in position for your divine shift is what God gave me. I was sitting doing something like, okay, Lord, how can I teach on divine shift again? What can I do? And I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and this is what came to me and some other things. So this is, and I know it's God. But we're going to still start with the same base scripture, Numbers 11, 31 through 33. I'm only going to read two versions, the Living Bible and the Message. The Lord sent a wind that brought quail from the sea and let them fall into the camp and all around it. As far as one could walk in a day in any direction, there were quail flying 3 or 4 feet above the ground, which is unusual. The Message version, a wind set in motion by God swept quails in from the sea. They piled up to a depth of about 3 feet in the camp and as far out as a day's walk in every direction. A wind set in motion by God.
That's right.
As I said last week, there are certain things that happen. We think it's the enemy. But it's God setting that wind in motion for us. And it may be an uncomfortable place, but it's God setting that wind in motion for us for that divine shift. And I think about myself, you know, how not giving God all the glory when I say this, y'all. So if you know me, you know my heart. Giving God all the glory, I see how I have grown in my teaching. Because before, God allowed me in my infancy to have a song to help me to gradually get into the word. And he stopped. He stopped. That was a divine shift. In my infancy, you know, bringing his word, he would give me a song to help me. But now he said, okay, got to take the bottle away. Got to take it away. But that's a shift. You know, it was taking me, being up here anyway, it's taking me out of my comfort zone. And most people don't believe this when I say that, but I am a little shy. So this is, most people don't believe that, but that's okay. But it takes me out of my comfort zone, but I know this is a divine shift.
Yeah.
I know it is. I know this is a divine shift for me and my family. I know it is. Hallelujah. And I think this was E.W. Kenyon that stated this. Faith will lead you where reason cannot walk.
Right.
Reason has never been a mountain climber. Faith can scale the loftiest mountain peaks without fear.
Hallelujah.
And I had this written down in one of my books as I was studying. I'm like, that's good, because that was something I had to read for myself, and so I wanted to include it in this teaching. I'm going to read it again. Faith will lead you where reason cannot walk. Reason has never been a mountain climber. Faith can scale the loftiest mountain peaks without fear, because when you have faith, you're focused on God. You're not focused on that obstacle that's in front of you. You will reason yourself out of your position. Amen. From your divine shift. I mean, due to many things, you know, fear can just take over. You know, if I had allowed fear to take over with me in certain different areas, I would not see the growth in me that I have since I've been obedient when pastors reach out to me and ask. You know, I make sure it's okay with Jesse first, because he's my husband, and then I reply back to pastors and let them know, hey, yes, I can do it. But I'm not allowing fear to take me out of my divine shift. When we feel uncomfortable in a situation, we sometimes have tendencies of going back to what's familiar, going back to our comfortable place, because we don't like to feel uncomfortable or, oh my gosh, I really don't know about this. You know, and one thing with me, I like to know where I'm going. I don't like to look lost. And so I need to know exactly where am I going. Or could I turn left or right? And 3 feet, do I turn left? Then 2 feet, turn right? I need to know. Now, that's an issue I got to work on. but I don't like looking lost. So I need to know exactly where I'm going. But we have a tendency of just retreating back to what's familiar, you know, what's comfortable to us. God would cause us to be in some uncomfortable places. But we got to understand it's a divine shift, because he's shifting us where he wants us to be. And it's a blessing in the shifting. It is a blessing. I read this. It's by a pastor, Denise McGinnis Brown. And she stated, God's divine shift would cause us to turn northward and walk into our wealthy places so that we will possess lands, own houses, and have prosperous lives. But it will require our obedience and faithfulness to him. It is time for a divine shift, but are you ready or in a position to receive it? Because the divine shifts, they're there. They're happening. But are we in position, and is our faith out there in, to receive it? Do we have that faith to go with the wind? Do we have that faith to go with the wind? Or are we allowing fear and reason to take over? Because like they said up here, faith will lead you where reason cannot walk. Obeying God is how you can be in position for your divine shift. That, I think that's the main one, obeying him. And we have so many examples in the Bible about saints, you know, people who obeyed God and they walked right into their divine shift. Noah, and I'm going to summarize this in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. So really, back in that day, it really had truly just poured down raining. They'd get some dew in the morning and things like that, but not just pouring down raining. So when Noah started going around telling all the peeps, it's about to throw down here, y'all. It's about to storm. It's about to do some heavy raining. They looked at him like he was crazy. How y'all think Noah felt? That was out of his comfort zone. Right. That was on an uncomfortable place. And he looked real silly. He was building this gigantic boat on dry land.
That's right. That's right.
He
That's
looked right. absolutely silly. That was uncomfortable. He's in the sun with some hammers and some wood and whatever they use for nails then. And he's out there. He's just hammering away, building this gigantic boat on dry land. But it was part of his divine shift. It was part of his divine shift. He trusted God's process, and he wasn't concerned about his reputation or being comfortable.
That's good.
We sometimes get so concerned about people and what people may think, and we're moving ourselves out of our divine shift. He wasn't. He didn't care, because I truly believe if he did, he would not have done that. He's building a boat on dry land, and they never seen rain like that. Just some dew in the morning. He looked real silly out there building a boat on dry land.
Right.
But he obeyed God. He had a divine shift when the flood came, because his whole family was saved. And he didn't even go out looking for the animals. The animals came to him. When the time was right, the animals came to him and got on the boat. Animals are obedient.
Good.
They came to Noah and got on the boat. That was their divine shift as well. They were saved. Noah's family was saved. That was his divine shift. And Noah was righteous in God's eyes, because God got mad at everything he created. He wanted to destroy everything. But then Noah was righteous in God's eyes. Don't care about man's eyes. He was righteous in God's eyes.
Right.
Noah didn't care what nobody else thought, because he was out there building a boat on dry land.
That's right.
And
That's
rain
right.
had not came. Okay. Right. Glory to God. Amen. Abraham. Another one who obeyed God in his divine shift. In Genesis 11 through 21, and again, I'm summarizing Wonders Version. God told Abram to leave his family, okay, and go where he would show him. He didn't tell him at that time. He said, pack up your stuff, let's go, hit the road, okay? Prior to that, God had told Abram's father to leave. The same thing. He left to go to Canaan, but he stopped and settled in the land of Haran. And I probably pronounced that wrong, Haran. But he pressed the pause button on his divine shift because he had first told Abram's father to go. He left, but he got stopped. He got comfortable. So, getting back. But God continued that shift through Abram. So where you or we may press a pause button, God can continue that divine shift through our children.
That's right.
And grandchildren. We may have pressed the pause button on a divine shift, or our parents or grandparents may, or ancestors may have pressed the pause button on a divine shift in your family, but you have that opportunity to continue that shift. You have an opportunity to continue. I know Miss Jim always, she says that she asked for everything that her parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, that they didn't claim or they didn't get. She wanted it all. I ain't mad at her. I want it all. And I start saying that, you know, whatever they didn't get, they pressed. Now I'm going to say, wherever they press the pause button on, Lord, whatever they press the pause button on, I want it. I'm unpressing that pause button. Let the shift happen. I'm ready. Let the shift happen. But God continued through Abram. He went to Canaan, and God told him that this would be his land. His name was still Abram at that time. He told him that this would be his land. Then God appeared to him again to move, and he moved. He didn't ask God why. He just did what God told him to do. When Abram first left, God never told him to bring Lot with him, first of all.
That's right.
Abram brought Lot with him. God honored it. But by him bringing Lot with him, it paused the divine shift. He was blessed, but it paused the divine shift because he brought Lot with him, and God never told him to bring Lot with him. And it got to the point where there was turmoil between Lot's folks and Abram's folks. You know, they were bickering and all this stuff. Hey, this mine, this, okay, whatever. So Abram's advised to Lot, hey, we need to go our separate ways. Where you want to go? You pick it, wherever you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction. Sometimes you got to do people like that too. Okay, so Lot picked where he wanted to go. He went there and all his herdsmen, and Abram went the opposite direction. All right. After Lot left, then God began to reveal more to Abram and changed his name to Abraham. God gave him a son at a very old age. He put himself in a position for the divine shift. But the pause button was pressed for the divine shift while Lot was still there with him, because Lot wasn't part of the big picture. God never told him to bring Lot with him. So he paused that. So do we have things, people in our lives that's causing our divine shift to be placed on pause? That's causing our divine shift to be on hold? Are we stopping where God told us to pass through, like Abram's father? Because sometimes we get comfortable with places and we stop somewhere, set up camp, and God never told us to set up camp. He said pass through. Mm-hmm. Abram's father set up camp. He wasn't supposed to. It's supposed to just be passing through. But he set up camp. So do we have people or things in our lives that's pressing the pause button? Are we where we're supposed to be, where God has called us to be? So we need to think about those things. Everyone cannot go with you. They will not understand what God is doing in your life, or they won't care what God is doing in your life. But everyone can't go with you. Family, whomever, they can't. Children, everyone can't go with you. They won't understand. They won't understand. They just, some of them don't. As I said last week, they're still on the boat, on the shore, and you're about to walk on water. So leave them in their boat. Leave them on the shore. Take your finger off the pause button. Remove anything that's causing you not to shift with the wind. And it may not be easy, especially when it's family. It may not be easy. And you got to go around just announcing, oh, you're holding my pause button. I got to let you go. But we have to recognize, and I'm sure we all know some things and people that's in our lives that we don't need to spend as much time with. We all know that because they get your water boiling and you just want to lay some holy hands on them at times and, you know, just want to anoint them, you know, and what have you. So just saying. Esther. And God gave Esther to me. I love her story. I love her story. And I'm going to summarize this as well. She interceded on behalf of the Jewish people of the kingdom to prevent all of them from being killed. And she went before the king, who was her husband, without being announced. You just couldn't do that, especially being a woman. You couldn't do that. But she put her life on the line and went before him to fight by her actions and her words and her favor with her husband, her favor with God, to intercede on behalf of the Jewish people. She was a Jew. She was a Jew. She did that. And that could not have been a comfortable place for her because she could have been killed on the spot. No questions asked, because that was the law. You had to be summoned in order to go before the king. And then being a woman and you being bold like that, even though it was her husband, but he still was the king. So she put herself on her life on the line. Her actions caused a divine shift for her and her people, God's chosen people, the Jews. And Mordecai advised her that she was put there for such a time as this. He told her what to do, told her what not to say, what to say. Don't tell him you're a Jew right now. There was a reason for all of that. And Mordecai led her, and he was led by God, to instruct her on what to do. And she saved the Jewish nation. She saved the Jews by her acts of going before the king, putting her life on the line. That's obedience. That caused a divine shift. It caused a divine shift. So, and like I said, obedience is a great part, a major component of a divine shift. We have to be obedient to God's word and what he tells us to do in order for that shift to happen, so we can move with him instead of against him, because we got to move with God. We can't move against him, or you're fighting yourself. It's a losing battle.
That's right.
It's a losing battle, because you're stopping your blessings. You're stopping your divine shift. You're pressing that pause button, or you just turn it completely off. We have to move with God. Tithes and offerings is also part of being obedient. You know, tithes is 10%, and offering is anything above that what God leads you to give. And it's a key to the shift because it's part of obedience. Malachi 3:10 through 12, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I would not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there would not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields would not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. This is a divine shift. That is a divine shift. The windows of heaven opening up over your health, over your finances, over your marriage, over your relationships, your children, your grandchildren. That's a divine shift. It's not just the money part. And we focus on that money part so much with the windows of heaven opening up. It's about our health. Our health, everything that concerns us. the windows of heaven opening up and covering that, you have more peace than you have room enough to receive. More joy than you have room enough to receive. But it all goes back to obedience, and that causes that divine shift in order to happen. We have to come into agreement with God. We have to come into agreement that he has put us in the position for our divine shift. And we have to say what Jesus said, not my will, let your will be done. And had to say what Mary said, so be it unto me according to your word. We have to do that in order for that divine shift to happen. We have to embrace rather than brace. Because when you're bracing for something, you're tensed up. You know, you're stressing a little bit when you're bracing for something. When you're embracing, you're more relaxed. So embrace your divine shift. Embrace the uncomfortable place you may be in right now, knowing that you're probably in a divine shift. Check yourself. We have to ask ourselves those tough questions, looking in the mirror. Say, okay, what am I doing? What am I not doing that could be causing this? And if you're honest with yourself, you will know. So if you're not doing anything that's probably causing an uncomfortable place in your life at this time, say, okay, Lord, not my will, let your will be done, so be it. Embrace it. Don't brace. Embrace. Embrace your divine shift. Embrace your uncomfortable place. Esther embraced that uncomfortable place she was as she was walking up to the king. She embraced that uncomfortable place. Daniel embraced that uncomfortable place in the lion's den. Jesus embraced that uncomfortable place on the cross. Embrace, not brace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. This is the NIV version. And said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. That's a divine shift. Changes times and seasons. Things change. Seasons change. He disposes kings and rises up another one. That's a shift. That's a divine shift. He gives wisdom to the wise. Ask God for wisdom, for his wisdom every single day. Ask him for that. He would give it to you. Ask him for his wisdom every single day. He would knowledge to the discerning. Do you want to have a discerning spirit? Ask God for that. Lord, I want a discerning spirit. When I'm interviewing, I pray before that interview because I need a discerning spirit, because I don't need no junk up in there. I don't need no crazy folks up in there. I ask God for a discerning spirit, because folks can throw some wool at you. You know, they come in and act all, you think, you good. You're better than sliced bread. I come to think of, and when they finally get in there, they got mold all on them. Just saying. Ask for that discerning spirit, and he can reveal those deep and hidden things. That's a shift. That's a shift. It's a divine shift. And like I said, a divine shift may be uncomfortable, but God has said in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, and Deuteronomy 31 and 6, and I'm summarizing it, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said that. So when you're in your divine shift, when you're in an uncomfortable place, just know, God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There is something greater at the end of this. So while you're in the middle of your shift, he is there. Hang on. Change is coming. God is with you. The greater is coming. The shift is happening. Amen. We are stepping into a season of divine shifts, of second chances. But we must position ourselves and keep the faith that God will do what he said he would do. He is not a man. We can trust him 100% and his process. The divine shift would take us places where we never thought we could go. Release, get ready, be on ready, be in position. Do not press pause. Your divine shift is happening. Joel Osteen stated, "You may feel like you're stuck right now. You may feel like you're stuck right now. You could never accomplish a dream, never overcome a problem. It's just been too long. You've missed too many opportunities, but God is saying, get ready. I'm about to shift things. Doors will open for you that have not opened in the past. Those who were against you will suddenly change their minds and be for you. Problems that dogged you for years will suddenly turn around. You are coming into a shift. Because you have honored God, he will put you in a position you never could have attained on your own. It's not just your education, not just your talent or the family you came from. It's the hand of God shifting you into a new level of your destiny."
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is good.
Yeah.
We just have to trust his process. Yeah. We've got to have faith in him, and we've got to be obedient, saints. We've got to be obedient. A few months ago, Pastor Rock advised us, "I will see an explosion of God's goodness, a sudden, widespread increase." This is a divine shift.
Yes.
Get ready.
Yes.
Get ready. Get ready, Oasis. Pastor spoke that a few months ago. I took it out the bulletin. I have it taped on my desk at work. So I look at it every single day. This is about to happen. It is happening now. It's happening now. As I stated last week, the ultimate divine shift is when Jesus died on the cross for us. God crossed his hands to give us the right hand blessing. The veil was torn, so we can boldly go to the throne. We don't have to wait that once a year where the priest goes in and they got to hold him with a rope so he won't get consumed and what have you. The veil was torn. We can go boldly to the throne. We can go to our Father and talk to him. Glory to God. That's a shift. We can have that personal relationship with our Father. We can ask him to forgive our sins instead of offering up animals and what have you. The Lamb of God, Jesus, shed his blood for us one time to cover us.
Amen.
We just have to believe it and receive it, obey God, and get in position for our divine shift. We are about to see a shift into a suddenly oasis. We are about to see a shift into the suddenly. And I hope you all would be on ready, because your shift is happening. You're in the middle of a shift. That uncomfortable place you may be in, you're shifting. But God is with you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. God is with you. Oasis, we are walking into our divine shift. Move with the wind. Move with the wind of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.